Please locate in your Bible Psalm number 139. I will share multiple scriptures with you today, but this is one passage. We'll look at the first four verses in this particular psalm, Psalm number 139. I hope as you think on things in church here today that you have an appreciation for the Word of God, and you're grateful for God's love for you, and that you will truly be interested in what His Word has to say, and that it will be beneficial to you. Let me give you a question. The question consists of two words: who knows? Who knows? That two-word question is the subject of our message today. Think with me, if you will. Many times in our conversations, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, the question comes up: who knows? Now, to me, perhaps to you, that question is often more an expression than a serious question. But it makes the point that not everything is known by everyone. Now, I may not tell you anything you don't know today, but I do hope you'll follow with me and consider what I want to share with you. The purpose of this message, on one hand, is to stress four things. Number one, God does know everything. Number two, we do not know everything. Number three, God wants us to work for Him. And number four, God blesses obedience and faithfulness. Now, I would think if you have been in church very much in your life, and if you know very much about the Bible, you have heard in one way or another those truths before. But I want us to look at that group of points here today. And I also want to say, on the other hand, that the purpose is to emphasize that some experiences, considering that we don't know everything, some experiences that we do not understand just might be part of God's plan to use us in His service and bring blessings into our lives. Isn't God good to you? Aren't you glad God's good to you? I hope that's the case with everyone here today. Well, let me say on point number one, God does know everything. I don't think I have to convince anybody of that, but it won't hurt us to be reminded. Our God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the ups and downs of life. He knows everything about you and everything about me. He knows it all. He really does. No doubt about that. There was a time we can read about in the Old Testament. You can read about it in the book of 1 Kings. You can also read about it in the book of 2 Chronicles, that Solomon, son of King David, you might remember David wanted to build a house, a special temple for the Lord, but the Lord didn't allow that to happen. Yet Solomon, his son, came along and built this fantastic building, this wonderful temple for the worship of God. And when Solomon was having like a dedication prayer, he said, "For thou, even thou only, like Lord, you and you only know the hearts of all the children of men." And just like God knew the hearts of people in Solomon's day, He still knows the hearts in our day, doesn't He? God knows your heart. He knows mine. Is that an encouragement or is that a discouragement? God knows our hearts. He knows what we think. He knows how we feel. He knows what we say. He knows all about it. Now in Psalm number 139, let's read the first four verses. The psalmist, apparently David in this case, said, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me." Doesn't that fit with the song we sang today? Search me, O God, and try my heart today. Oh, yes, there's other scripture that can tie in with that song. But here the psalmist said, "Lord, You have searched me and You've known me." I think there was no doubt in David's life that God knew everything about him. The good and the bad, God knew it all. "Lord, You have searched me and You've known me." I would suggest to us today that God is still aware of everything in your life and mine. If you want to say He's searched you and He's known you, then that would be similar to what we see in verse number 1. David said in what we know as verse number 2, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising." In other words, Lord, You know all about me. I understand that You know when I sit down and You know when I get up. Somebody might say, "You mean God really watches that closely?" God knows everything. He really does. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you stand up. And then the rest of the verse, he said, Lord, you understand my thought afar off. We don't have to explain to God how we feel. We can go to him with our concerns in prayer, but he knows how we feel, and he understands from a distance. Heaven's a long way off to you and me. It's not a challenge to him because he made the whole world. Isn't it a magnificent creation, what God made? But the psalmist knew that God knew him and understood him. Do you know there may be people in our world today that wonder and worry, does God really care about me? Does God really know what's going on in my life? Does God really understand what I'm going through? And the good news is the answer is yes. Now that's especially true for people who are willing to trust him, for people who are willing to put their faith in him. Then in verse 3, the psalmist said, Thou compassest my path. In other words, you surround my path. You go around my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. So if you look at verses 2 and 3 together, he's saying, Lord, you understand how I think from where you are. You look at my path in life. You know when I sit down. You know when I lie down. You know when I get up. You know about all my ways. And then in verse 4, he said, There's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you know it. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Do you think that's telling us that God knows every word we speak? Yes, indeed. He does. If he knows everything, he knows every word we speak. He knows every thought. He knows every action. And so that's a sobering truth, but it's the truth of the Scripture, I do believe. And so I'm trying to emphasize to you, even though you have probably known it for many, many years, God does know everything. I'm not one of those who's an atheist. Are you? I don't think so. Are you one who doubts the power of God? I hope not, because I believe the God that had the power to make the world, including people, the God that did that sent Jesus to die for our sins, and that he cares about his people all along the way. And yes, he knows everything. You cannot take anything to God in prayer that he doesn't know and understand. Somebody might say, well, you know, I've got some concern in my life, and I understand people pray about some big things sometimes, but I don't know if I ought to go to the Lord with this little thing. May I say to you, I've said it before, we can pray to God anywhere, anytime, about anything. And I'm not about to say to you something here is too small for you to pray about. I don't think that would be appropriate. God cares about his people. You can bring it down to earth. You might think it's not very spiritual, but if you can't find your car keys, I don't think there's anything unscriptural about praying for God to help you find them. I'm being very serious. It might not be the car keys. It might be something else that you're looking for that you can't find. It might be something that is more spiritual in nature. The point is, God knows it all. He knows all about us, and that can be comforting and assuring, reassuring, if we're trying to walk with him along the way. In the book of John in the New Testament, we see where Jesus was praying for his people that would believe in him. For the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus wanted to save the people. And he wanted the world to know that the Father had sent him. And he said, Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you. You know all things. And how true that is. You can go to the book of Acts in the first chapter. And the apostles were choosing a replacement for Judas Iscariot, who had fallen by sin. And so they went through their process, and they narrowed it down to two people. And then they said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen. So what are we saying, folks? The psalmist made it very clear, just like Solomon did when he prayed about the temple. The psalmist David made it very clear that God knows everything. Jesus himself made it clear that God the Father knows everything. The apostles made it very clear that God knows everything. And so, again, I don't have to convince you of that, but I'm emphasizing this, and we need to never forget that God knows, and along with that, he cares. What if something happens today or tomorrow, and it's very difficult or discouraging? Can we still believe that God knows and he cares? We can if we choose to. Will it be easy? Well, it might not be. And for me, for you, for all of us, it might be a big challenge. But I hope we have a strong enough faith that even if we don't understand everything at the time, we can have confidence that God, who does know everything, can see us through. Let me ask you, is there anybody here today that's here because of the grace of God, and He's been good to you so far. Everybody, right? Don't we know? This may seem morbid to some people, but people go out into eternity every single day. Sometimes we know the ones that go. And someday it'll be your turn. And someday it'll be my turn. And the Bible makes it very plain, we don't know when that will be. Am I encouraging everybody? I'm just telling you the truth, and you know it's true. You look around, we know that people are born and people die. And life as we know it is not intended to be our permanent state. But the good news is, if you have your faith in Christ as your Savior, heaven is your eternal home, and there's nothing that will be beyond that. In our comparisons, it will be a wonderful thing. Oh, I've not been there yet. You haven't been there yet, but by faith I believe the Scripture, and I believe when Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that He's doing a good job, don't you think? Amen. And I believe it'll be wonderful. Very seriously, it'll be beyond what probably we can even imagine. I really believe, you may have a different thought, but I really believe that if you try to think of the most beautiful spot you've ever seen in this world, and the most beautiful surroundings, I really believe that will pale in comparison to what God has in store for us in heaven someday. Won't it be great? It will be, I believe, like a restored Garden of Eden. It will be a wonderful, wonderful environment. And you know what's the best thing about it? Is that we'll be with the Lord. Oh, I tell you what, as the years go by, some of you can relate to this, I'm confident. I can't read your minds like the Lord can, but I'm confident that some of you in this room today are looking forward to the time when not only you'll see the Lord, but you'll also see some of your friends and relatives and loved ones that went on ahead of you. Won't that be wonderful? It really will. But the beauty will be great. The reunion time will be great. But to be with Jesus, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what can it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Let me tell you, if you can't find something good in that, you need to get to looking, because the Lord is doing something good for us, isn't He? And heaven is our home. I'm glad it's not going to be just like we know it now forever, aren't you? Now, we can be happy today, but I'm glad there's something available for the people of God up ahead. And I hope you're glad of that as well. So what am I telling you today? Who knows? Well, God knows everything. That's point number one. Now, number two, we do not know everything. Now, we can be silly about that, and I will choose not to be, because we can joke about what we know and not know, and people that are very young may tend to think more than older people that are seasoned and mature. They may tend to think they know everything. And I'm not saying they all are know-it-alls, but we learn through life, don't we? We learn through life, and certainly we do not know everything. Do you know when you go to school, one thing school can accomplish is show you how much you don't know. That's true, by the way, even if you go to a Bible college. Even if you study the Bible, the more you learn of the Bible, whether it's in Bible college or church or your own Bible study or whatever, it sort of shows you, ooh, how little I know. But just remember, we don't know everything. We need to add to our knowledge, and that includes our Bible knowledge, but we don't know everything. Now, is that biblical or is that just an opinion? Think with me, please. Is what I'm telling you biblical or is it just an opinion? I suggest to you, and I declare to you, it's biblical. Now, common sense tells us that we don't know everything. It doesn't matter what the subject is. It's hard to find a subject where you know everything about a particular subject. You might be an expert on that subject. You might know just about everything somebody could know. But in general, there's a lot we don't know. And we understand that. Well, Proverbs 27:1 is still in the Bible. And you know what Proverbs 27:1 tells us? It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't brag about tomorrow. Now, folks, let me say this to you. You can look at the book of James, and it's appropriate to plan ahead. It's appropriate to have some order in life. But the problem is when people make their plans without God. Because in the book of James, it says the people should have been saying, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. If the Lord wills, we'll do that. But back to Proverbs, it says, don't be bragging about tomorrow because you don't know. Isn't that true in the Bible and in life? Sometimes we may make our plans and go about things as if we know exactly what's going to happen. Has anybody here ever made plans for the next day ahead and you end up the next day not getting anything done you thought you'd get done? I see at least one taker out there on that. Isn't that the way life can go sometimes? Even if you don't have a crisis, things don't always go the way we think they will. We don't know, the Bible says, what a day may bring forth. We don't know. You can fill in the blanks with all kinds of things. We don't know when you might have sickness in the family. You might have an accident in the family. You could have all kinds of things come up. Something just come up, even of a good nature, that takes your time. We don't know what a day will bring forth. I want to read to you two verses from the book of Ecclesiastes. I wish we had the whole world in here listening, so to speak, that doubts the creative power of God of a little baby, or has some question about that with respect to abortion. Do you know what Ecclesiastes tells us? Listen carefully. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, referred to as a child with the bones growing, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both alike, or both shall be alike good. The last part of what I just read to you is saying, sow your seed. Don't hold back in the evening time when you sow your seed in the morning, because you don't know. Basically it says, do what you need to do. You don't know what will prosper and what won't. We don't know, do we? We really don't. We just need to be, as Christians, faithful and obedient. But just like we don't understand everything about how God brings people into this world, it says in those verses I read to you, even so we do not know the works of God who makes all. You may be smart. You may be intelligent. You might be one of the smartest people around. But there's none of us that knows like God does. Do we think that's right? I hope so. There's none of us that knows like God does. So I hope you know I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just emphasizing the fact that our God knows everything, but we are the created by the Creator. We do not know everything, and that should apply not only to our minds, but also to our hearts and our actions in life. We don't know it all. And if we get puffed up in sinful pride and arrogance and think we know it all, or act like we know it all, and irritate other people because we act like we know it all, then we need to reassess things. We do not know everything. Now, you might talk to somebody and that person may be trying to inform you, and you know more than that person does about it. That still doesn't take away from what I'm saying. We don't know everything. You know, you might learn. I remember years ago, the gist of it was this. I was in a setting, I believe it was at youth camp, and there was this preacher there that had been in the ministry a lot longer than I had been at that time, and we were talking, and his point was this, that he probably knew a lot about the subject or about things we were talking about, but he was just listening. That was sort of the idea, you know, you listen and you learn. Is there truth to that? You listen and you learn. You might say, well, I've been listening over here and I didn't learn anything. But you keep listening and you might learn. Have you ever had the experience? We probably all have, where you know a lot about something, but something happens where you learn something. Oh, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that part. It does not contradict what I'm talking about here today. God knows everything. We don't. Well, if God knows everything and we don't, then that's very practical for us to know in life. And then that takes me to point number three, that God wants us, His creation, He wants us to work for Him. Jesus Himself said in the book of John, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Do you know what? Jesus was not going to be on earth with that earthly ministry we talk about forever. And neither will we be here forever. The book of Matthew talks about Jesus looking on people with compassion because there were sheep having no shepherd. The Bible talks about the fields being white, ready to harvest. And so Jesus said, I have to be about it while it's daytime, because the night's coming when no man can work. And if you want to make this analogy, listen, folks, the night is coming when you and I won't have any more years left down here to live for the Lord. And so now's a good time to be about it, don't you think? Now's a good time to be concerned about living for the Lord, because life rolls by. Some of you, to be serious about it, probably have the same thought every now and then. It's like, where did all the time go? Where did all the years go? I can't believe that I'm the age I am, and it seems like just yesterday I was a little kid or something similar to that. Well, Lord wants us to work for Him. The night's coming. The night's coming. We don't know how long we'll live, do we? Remember, we don't know what a day will bring forth. Jesus said that, and certainly it's true for us. In the book of Mark, we have one recording of what we know as the Great Commission. And Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know what I'm reminding myself of right now? It's good to go into all the world. It's good that people send and support missionaries to go to countries that maybe we don't go to. But do you know that all the world includes our little area here too? Are you still with me? All the world includes people you come in contact with here and there and yonder, and that I see here and there and yonder. And I want to encourage you to know, and maybe we could all do a better job, that it's a blessing to talk to people about the Lord and to invite people to church, no matter what their response might be, because you know you made an effort to do something good. Because you know you made an effort to do the work of the Lord. Yes, Jesus said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes and no man can work." And I'm telling you, there comes a time in people's lives, whether you're a pastor or someone else in the church, whatever the case may be, there comes a time when people get old. There comes a time when the Lord takes them home. And so if you want to be used of the Lord, now's a good time to not forget that along the way. God wants us to work for Him. And number four is very important, and it relates to that. You see, God blesses obedience and faithfulness. Are you glad to know that? I'm confident we have people here today that God has blessed. And it's good for us to acknowledge the fact that God has blessed us and never conclude, "Well, I've just had so much going on in my life. I really can't tell you about anything the Lord's blessed me with." Oh, I think if you try, you can come up with something. You can come up with something God has blessed you with. The fact that you're able to be here today is a blessing. And we could go on and on with the blessings of God. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28:20, you might have heard this before, it's still a good verse, that a faithful man shall abound with blessings. I'm telling you, this point number four, God blesses obedience and faithfulness. The Bible says, essentially, that if we love the Lord, we will obey Him. And the Bible says, if you're faithful, you will abound with blessings. Does that mean people get everything they desire? Not necessarily. Does it mean they all get rich with money? Not necessarily. But you cannot put a value on the blessings of God in the terms of things of this world. One example, other than having that relationship with the Lord Himself, is to have good Christian friends. Isn't that a blessing? To have good Christian friends. And so a faithful person will abound with blessings. I am confident that if we could talk to the saints of God that did their best to live for God for however many years they lived, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, whatever it might be, I believe if we could talk to them and they could talk to us back, I believe that they would tell us, "Oh, everything I did for the Lord was worth it." They might even say, "I wish I could have done more, but everything I did for the Lord was worth it." Listen, the Bible promises, it promises that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that a great thing to know? Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. That means if you're making an effort to witness to people, making an effort to invite people to church, making an effort to read the Bible and pray and do those things that we ought to do, that makes you feel better as a Christian. But it's not just feelings. You also get the blessings of God in your life, maybe in ways I don't even foresee. God is good to His people. So again, when we talk about our work not being in vain, 1 Corinthians, written by Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God to the Corinthian church, he said, therefore, he had gotten near the end of his long letter, and he talked to them about the things they needed to hear. And he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, that's talking about believers, folks, my beloved brethren, he said, be ye steadfast, unmovable. What do those words mean? They pretty much mean stick with it. Stick with it. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Go down the right road, right in the middle. Be steadfast, unmovable. Then he said, always abounding. That denotes plenty, abundance. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord is just that. It takes effort to live for the Lord, but it is worth it. So Paul said, always be this way, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God knows, doesn't he? Similar wording is heaven knows, and heaven has an accurate record of our lives. Do you know that someday all of us as believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ? We'll be judged not to whether we'll get in heaven or not, because it's for believers, but we'll be judged according to our faithfulness and our lives of service to the Lord. And that's a sobering truth, but it is a truth. And so as I come near the end of this message today on the topic, who knows, I'm simply trying to make the point by way of reminder that God does. We don't know everything. So what are the four things I've shared with you today? These four truths. God does know everything. We do not know everything. God wants us to work for Him, and God blesses obedience and faithfulness. Now, I hope you can remember them, but let's remember this as well. Sometimes situations that we do not fully know about or understand just might be part of God's plan for us. Let me give you two examples. In the book of Esther, the Jewish people in captivity and exile came under a death threat. Mordecai the Jew was near the king there in the foreign land of Persia, but he had a relative named Esther. By God's design, Esther became queen. And so Mordecai basically said to Esther, now Esther, because she had not told people she was a Jew, Esther, don't think you're going to come off scot-free, so to speak. Esther, don't think this won't apply to you. And you know what Mordecai said to her? Who knows? You hear those two words? Who knows, Esther, whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It's like, who knows, Esther? Maybe you're in the position you're in so that God can use you to help your people. Who knows for you and me today? There may be someone crosses our paths. There may be something takes place that we are the ones God can use to help that person. Do you know what Paul said to Philemon in the little book of Philemon? He was talking about Onesimus. And it was sort of like he said, who knows? Because he said, perhaps, like maybe, Philemon, just maybe Onesimus left you for a little while so he could come back to you and stay forever. Just maybe. So I'm saying to you, we don't always know, but it is a blessing to look back and see how God works everything out. And I would think it would be interesting if we had people here today to give some examples of how God's been good to you. God has been faithful to you. And we know as believers that our God is aware and that He cares. And I'm glad He cares, aren't you? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? You know what the song says? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Isn't that a great truth? It really is. Well, let me come back to the two words again. Who knows? It's not complicated, is it? But it's important. Who knows? Our lives, yours, mine, everybody else's, our lives present us with many responsibilities, many challenges, and many opportunities. So how do they, or how will they all turn out? Well, only God knows for sure. But we can claim His promises every step of the way. Who knows? Maybe God has a task designed especially for you. Now, I'm not talking about people in some other part of the world right now. It could be true of them. I'm talking about people right here in this building. Maybe God has a task designed especially for you, something you can do that will be pleasing to Him, desiring to bless you when you faithfully obey. I'm not preaching a prosperity theology that if you do this and this and this, oh, you'll get rich. No, what I'm saying is God blesses when people are obedient. God blesses when people are faithful. And if you are yielded to God, He just may help you with some experience in life that brings glory to Him and is a blessing to you. Listen, God's way, these are not out of words, God's way is still the right way and the best way. So who knows what kind of blessing might be coming your way? Certainly God knows. So I hope we can be encouraged from this message today. Let's be thankful for God's goodness and give Him all the glory. I'm glad He knows about our lives and that He cares. Let's stand together, please, and bow our heads for prayer.